Chapter 16. Bad Dreams. It's one of the classics. One of the dreams that replays inside Nora's head now and again. It's her and her Y-Wing and her astromech, R5-G4. And they're in the twisting bowels of the Death Star again. She breaks off from the main conduit, drawing a handful of TIEs after her like flies on a Gorth's tail. She can't swat them, can't bat them away, can't outfly them. And suddenly, there are more ahead of her, and the inside of the battle station is a maze looping back on itself. And from somewhere she feels the concussive shock of the power source going up. And then everything starts to fall apart around her, and the fire fills the space behind her. And then it's there at the front, too, rushing up to greet her. She wakes up, bathed in sweat, like she always does, no matter how warm or cold the air. Nora checks her watch. She has, of course, been asleep for less than an hour. After rescuing her son from the clutches of that vile gangster, she still got the feeling like they're being chased. Heart pounding, muscles tight, jaw set, adrenaline cooking through her like liquid blaster fire. Sleep was a bad idea. Nora heads downstairs to get some tea. She expects that everyone is still asleep, and here she reminds herself to thank her sister Esmel for letting this crew of curious strangers stay the night. But as she descends, she hears voices coming from the kitchen. There, gathered around a small table, are the two curious strangers, Jazz Imari and Sinji Arath Velis. They've set aside Esmel's hydrodome, where she grows small herbs like heartweed and synthin seed, and have set out across the small table a series of odd objects. A salt cellar, a series of herb vials, a napkin dispenser, a bunch of quick sticks, and fruit knives. She enters, and the two of them straighten up, like children who have done wrong.
What's all this?
Nora asks.
Nothing,
Jazz says.
Just playing a game,
the other one, Sinjir, says with a smile. A strange couple, these two. She, a cold-faced, curt-tongued Zabrak. He's a tall drink of milk. A bit rangy, scruffy, a smell of wine or brandy leaving his pores. He's got a big, duplicitous grin. She's got eyes cut like stones. Nora mumbles something, and then taps the button on the side of the kettle. From the upper cabinet, she selects a geisha tea, measures some into a cup. The other two are staring holes in her back. The kettle whistles, and she pours. Ghosts of steam rise around her. Then she turns and says,
"That looks like a map."
"It's not,"
Sinjir says, still smiling.
"It is,"
the Zabrak says at almost the same time.
"Will you tell me what it is?"
Nora asks.
"No."
The other two both answer in unison. Jazz and Sinjir give each other a look. A bit quizzical. A bit amused, that shared look. Nora leans over, scrutinizes their arrangement.
"This, the napkin dispenser. It's bigger than everything else, so it's meant to represent something big. The satrap's palace, I'm guessing. Which lines up with the rest. Here's the old capitol building. Here's the avenue of the satrapy. Here's the narrow Withrafisp road. This was once a secret road, I'm told, to sneak satraps in and out of the palace. But it's been public since I was a girl."
"Nope,"
Sinjir says, feigning total sincerity.
"Sorry. Thank you, though, for playing. Now, if you'll excuse us..."
"Shut up,"
Jazz says to him. Then to Nora.
"Yes, you're right. Did you grow up here?"
Nora nods.
"I did."
"You're..."
Jazz gives her a look over.
"A rebel?
Am I that obvious?"
The Zabrak shrugs.
"No, but I'm no fool. You had no problem shooting at stormtroopers last night. And yet you don't look like another criminal. or just another local. You dress like a rebel. The utilitarian vest, the utility belt, those boots.
She squints.
Violet?
Nora laughs. Yes, that's correct.
I'm a bounty hunter,
Jazz says.
I'm here collecting a bounty for the New Republic. I think I could use your help.
Wait one Starburn second,
Sinjir protests, waving both hands.
You're cutting me in for a meager 25%, and now you're going to water down the bounty even more by bringing her in?
The bounty hunter says,
I'm hoping she'll do it because it's the right thing, and because it is an attack on the Empire, not because of credits.
Nora feels the call of duty crawling over her like ants. She wants to find out more, wants to throw in and spit in the eye of the Empire. But I can't, she says, speaking through clenched jaw.
I really can't. My son and I have to leave this planet. My first priority is taking him away.
Go save your friend,
Temin says.
And Tilly's. Because I told you I'm not going.
Temin shuffles into the kitchen.
And by the way, I know you people think you're not being loud, but you're totally being loud.
Nora catches his arm.
I'll let someone else save Captain Antilles. My job isn't fighting this war anymore. My job is you.
But he pulls away from her. He grabs a glass of blue milk from the cold chest.
Did my droid come home yet? He should be here by now.
Nora wants to keep fighting him, but she bites her tongue. He's as stubborn as she is. Pushing him is like punching a wall. She'll only break her hand trying. Sinjir says to the boy,
That was your droid, huh?
Yeah.
That was a battle droid.
I know.
They're the most inept fighting unit in perhaps the history of the galaxy. And trust me, stormtroopers are basically just overturned mop buckets with guns, especially these days.
Do not sell the stormtroopers short,
Jazz snaps.
In number, they are dangerous.
So are swamp buffalo,
Sinjir says.
It doesn't mean they're particularly effective. Battle droids, even less so. Kudos to you, young man, turning one of them into a bona fide war machine.
Sinjir softly applauds.
Though I think it's wise to prepare for the eventuality that they overwhelmed him. He's a battle droid, not a technological miracle.
Yeah, well,
Temin stands there, looking surly, sipping his drink.
You don't know Borcat scat from Dubat dung, pal. Mr. Bones is programmed with... Well, just trust me. Mr. Bones will be just fine.
Nora watches her son. The way he stands with his fists balled up, his brow furrowed. He's angry. Like she was. And maybe still is, she admits to herself. But then his eyes narrow, and he looks down at the table.
What's this?
Nothing,
Sinjir says.
It's a map,
Temin says. And Nora swells with small pride. A pride that grows as Temin adds,
What's this? The Satrap's palace?
By all the damn stars,
Sinjir says.
Like mother, like son.
The boy frowns at that. Nora feels stung. Jazz Imari then jumps in with both feet.
Right now at that palace, provided we have not missed our opportunity, a secret meeting is taking place. At this meeting are a small number of very important individuals within the Imperial ranks. Movers and shakers. High bounty values.
She lists those individuals. Moff Falco Pandion, Admiral Ray Sloan, Advisor Yup Tashu, General Jillia Shale, and the bounty hunter's original target, the banker and slaver, Arson Crassus.
That's it,
Nora says, snapping her fingers. Part of her feels like she should have figured this out already. But then another part of her, a realistic side, or maybe just the cynical side, says she's just some pilot. How would she have known?
Still, it all adds up.
The Star Destroyers, the blockade, the comm blackout. They're protecting this meeting. And Wedge.
The Zabrak raises an eyebrow.
What is a Wedge?
Wedge Antilles, Sinjir says. Right? Pilot for the Rebel Alliance?
Nora nods.
Yes. How did you know?
The man hesitates.
I'm a rebel, too.
That strikes her as odd. He is dressed a bit like one, but something about him feels off somehow. Still, the Rebellion is home to all kinds. Nora continues.
They must have him. Wedge. He was probably scouting the Outer Rim and ran afoul of whatever this is.
He's probably still alive,
Jazz says.
Which means you have an opportunity. Help me, we will strike a blow for your new republic. We will undo the efforts of the Empire, cutting their hamstrings just as they're relearning how to stand. You will rescue your friend.
Again, duty swarms Nora. The chance to do right.
But the opposing feeling rises true, too. For once, she just wants to keep her head down, her chin to her chest, and duck all incoming fire. She doesn't want to fly into the belly of the beast. Not this time.
No,
she says, staring down below her darkening brow.
The best way forward is to get off this planet. Soon as we get into calm range, we alert the Republic. They send in ships and troops and...
The bounty hunter interrupts.
Wrong. By then the meeting will have concluded, if it hasn't already, and your friend will either be gone or dead. The way forward is now. The work is ours to do.
I'm in, Temin says, but I want a cut.
Young man, Sinjir says, chuckling. Let's not overreach. We dutifully saved your little can from getting kicked.
Fine,
Jazzy Mari says to the boy.
You can have half of his cut.
She tilts her thorny head, gesturing towards Sinjir. Sinjir objects.
Hey!
You'll still get passage off this planet,
the Zabrak woman says. She gives a haughty little flip. The axe blade slice of hair between her thorns suddenly falls to the side of her scalp.
And the bounty is significant enough that even a fraction will buy you enough otherworldly liquors to keep you pickled until the New Republic once more becomes the Old Republic. Take the deal, or leave it.
He rolls his eyes.
Fine.
I don't know about this,
Nora says.
I could use your help. I bet your friend could as well.
Nora hesitates. It's like being a kid again, and jumping off one of the waterfalls in a car canyon. She literally has to hold her breath before she says,
I'm in. But I want passage off this planet, too.
Done,
Jazz says.
Now, I think we should...
The whole house shakes. Someone's at the door. As Jazz pulls her blaster, the memory once more comes rushing back to meet Nora. Coming at her fast as the silver water after jumping off one of those waterfalls. That sound. Fists pounding on the door. The sound of Imperials coming to take her husband away.